Let us read now in the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges, chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto him, Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. If you turn again, please, to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. We come to the last chapter in the life and ministry of Samson, the judge of Israel. We've seen in these chapters that Samson is a Nazarite unto God. He's separated unto God from the womb. That this separation and consecration to God was symbolized in his uncut hair. showed people very, very visibly that he was under authority to God. He was God's man, he was God's servant, he was doing God's work. Samson was a saint and he was a sinner. At several points in these sermons we've tried to defend Samson. We've pointed repeatedly to Hebrews 11 that Samson is a man of faith. He's a man who was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a sinner who was united by faith to the Savior. Certainly, though, Samson does have faults. And you do find his faults coming to the fore here at the beginning of Judges 16. But what you also find in Judges 16 is what is true of every child of God, that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth, Hebrews 12, verse 6. And that is indeed a wonderful thing to have. It's part of the grace of adoption, is to have the Father's discipline. And that discipline can sometimes feel very severe and painful, and yet it comes from God's fatherly hand. The emphasis in Hebrews 12:6 should be on the verb to love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. Samson's chastisement in this chapter, therefore, is not an evidence of an unconverted man. Indeed, it's an evidence that he is a son. Hebrews 12 goes on to say, if you are without chastisement, whereof all in the family of God are partakers, then you are bastards, or illegitimate, and not sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But Samson's strength then was symbolized in his uncut hair. But in this chapter, you see three things about Samson's hair. We have firstly, Samson's hair being cut. You have that in verse 19. Secondly, we have Samson's hair growing again. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. And then thirdly, we have Samson's hair fully grown. And you have that, at least implicitly, at the end of the chapter, verse 30. So these three things concerning Samson's hair, his hair being cut, growing again, and then his hair fully grown. Firstly here we have Samson's hair being cut. Since his childhood, Samson's hair was never cut. These seven locks of hair meant that he had, or was a sign that he had, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God. And Samson, he knew God in a saving way, as we said. And as the Bible tells us, the people that know their God shall be strong. That's where the strength comes from. The people that know their God, Daniel 11:32, they will be strong and they shall do great things. They shall do exploits. Well, that was Samson. We've said that. This was his source of strength, not his massive build or muscle, but the fact that he knew his God. And with that strength, the strength of being endowed by the Spirit of God, he slew that lion with his bare hands. He killed the 30 men of Ashkelon. He utterly destroyed the Philistines' hip and thigh. He slew 1,000 of their best warriors, as we saw this morning, with the moist jawbone of an ass. And there's also the fact here of what we're told at the end of chapter 15 and at the end of chapter 16. as though it was putting this in a bracket for us. Make sure that you read everything in this light. Make sure that you don't forget these points at the end of verse 15 and at the end of verse 16. Samson, it tells us twice, judged Israel for 20 years. Speaking to his faithfulness as a judge in Israel, suggesting too that after the battle, as we saw this morning, the battle in Lehi, that the people of Judah and Israel accepted him as their deliverer and judge. He judged Israel for 20 years. So that speaks to Samson the Nazarite and a general life of faithfulness. But yet, when you come here to chapter 16, there are things that have changed. This is, of course, at the end of his life. We're told in verse 1 that Samson went to Gaza and saw an harlot and went in unto her. And you immediately remember the words that Solomon gives us at the end of Proverbs 7 concerning the adulterous woman. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs 7:25-27. And so when you look at Samson here, you really have to say his hair is already being cut in the real and the spiritual sense. And it's a solemn thought when you consider that. It appears that Samson still has the gift of his strength. And yet he has backslidden. Sometimes a person can still have a gift that God has given to them. And outwardly, people can look at you and think that everything is the same. Things are going on the same way, and yet inwardly, you are far from God and you are backslidden. So you look at this passage in Judges 16, and in many ways you would say at the beginning of this chapter, it's similar. It's very, very similar to what we've seen already. There's great danger for Samson. Well, we've seen that many times. And here in verse 3, Samson, that there is this ambush set for Samson by the Philistines. The Philistines learn that he's here in Gaza, and they set an ambush for him. And so you might look and say, well, that's typical. That's the pattern. There's great danger for Samson. Nothing has changed. And then Samson goes with his supernatural, God-given strength, and he carries these two massive gates, humanly impossible. Impossible for any man to carry gates this large, a bar and all. He carries these two gates, and he carries it out of the city of Gaza, bar and all, and he carries it for kilometre upon kilometre to the top of a hill that's in Hebron. It is a great display of strength. And so you look at all of this and you say, it's so similar to before, but there's something critically missing. There's something critically missing that's different from the times before. Do we see what's different? There is no reference in the beginning of Judges 16 to the Holy Spirit coming upon Samson. Every other time, without exception, the Spirit of God comes upon him and he goes to Timnath. The lion meets him and the Spirit of God comes mightily upon him. He's moved by the Spirit of God and he goes and he slays men in Ashkelon. The Philistines roar against him. in chapter 15, 1,000 of them at least. And the Spirit of God mightily comes upon him, and he destroys them. But here in Judges 16, there is no reference to the Holy Spirit of God, and the absence and the silence should be deafening. And so what we read here is that Samson goes into a harlot. He's a backslider, therefore. And backsliding, dear friends, is a great danger. Especially if God has given some gift, some blessing even, a blessing in his house, a blessing at his table, and some gift for ministry. And we can begin to rely upon either this blessing. The Lord blessed me here. The Lord spoke to me here. The Lord has given, and there's still this ability to pray or to preach or to witness effectively. And others can look at you and say, the strength is there, the blessing is there, the gift is there, and spiritually you have slidden from God. You can still have the gift and yet be backslidden. And so it's not surprising then that things go from bad to worse. And I was going to say that this needs, we need to be especially on our guard after the Lord's Supper, when the Lord has come and he's spoken in the bread and in the wine, and when we have had a sense of his presence with us, we need to be especially careful as we come down from the mountain, as it were, to beware of the danger of backsliding. Because, as we said, things go from bad to worse. It's always the way sin works. Always from bad to worse. Unless the Lord stops you in a path of sin. Again, as Proverbs 27 tells us of the harlot, her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. It's always where sin leads. That's why the Lord said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. In other words, take immediate, radical action to stop. Do whatever is necessary to stop. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee that one of thy members perish, and not that thy whole body be cast into hell. Because that's the end of sin. John Owen, in his book on temptation, tells us, and rightly so, that is the end of sin is always death. It never tells you that at the beginning. At the beginning, it claims the sort of limited nature to what we're doing. But the purpose, the goal of all sin is always death. And it's interesting when you think of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Was it not true of Samson? As painful, as excruciatingly painful as this was, it was better, was it not, for Samson to lose both his eyes than to continue in this path of backsliding and sin. Better to lose his eyes than to lose his soul. Well, we have this whole episode with Delilah here, and we don't have time to into it all, but just to notice a few things. We're told that Delilah is someone that Samson loved. He loved a woman in Zorek. But we're not told that she was a harlot. We're not told that she was a Philistine. I think sometimes we assume that, and it's possible. We're not told these things. But she, this woman, Delilah, She lives in the valley of Zorek, which borders Dan and Philistia. And anyway, she's not a lover, but a seducer. She is bribed with a large sum of money to find the secret of Samson's strength. And so, I think the way we're to read this is she's playing a game with Samson, and he's playing along with her. It's as though she's saying, let's play a game, and I'll ask you to tell me the secret of your strength, and you tell me the secret of your strength. And that's the game. And she shouts, well, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he gets up and defeats them. And there's this playing along with this game. And it's interesting, too, in these four times that Samson in this game is getting closer and closer to the truth of where his strength lies. He's getting closer and closer to these seven locks of hair. And so this fourth time in this game, she vexes him, we're told, and she weeps, and she manipulates, really, and she says, how can you love me? You're not telling me the truth. And eventually she wears him down, and he gives in, and he tells her the great secret of his strength. Verse 17, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. What a lesson, my dear friends. We must not play games with sin. I remember a minister saying that years and years ago, and it stuck with me. Don't trifle with sin. Don't play games with sin. Don't think that you can control sin. Don't think that you can keep it here. As Owen also says in his book on temptation, you be killing sin, or it will be killing you. There's no neutral standoff between sin and the believer. Either you kill it, or it will be killing you. But let us beware that we don't give any place to sin. And Samson here, we see that he falls asleep on her lap. Indeed, Samson does a lot of sleeping in this chapter, which in many ways tells us about his spiritual condition. He's in this slumber, in this sleep. And in this final sleep, Delilah cuts his hair. And she calls out, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And suddenly there is this sinking realization, this is not a game. This is not a game. His hair had been cut, and the Philistines this time run in. He didn't know they were there before. But suddenly they run in, and Samson is unable to loose himself. And these oh so sad words at the end of verse 20, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Backsliding doesn't happen in a moment. It happens over time, imperceptibly to those who don't watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And the Philistines take him, and gruesomely they put out his eyes. The inlet to sin at the beginning of the chapter. He saw a woman who was an harlot, and he went into her. And they now put out his eyes and bring him to the prison in Gaza where he's bound, and he grinds for them in the prison. But you need to see here that Samson had lost his strength before he lost his hair. He had lost his sight before he lost his eyes. And he's brought to Gaza, the place where this chapter began, and the place where he had gone into the harlot, and he grinds there. He does, we could say, the donkey work. He grinds. Don't you see what sin does? Sin that promises so much. That sin brings the sinner and blinds the sinner and binds the sinner and demeans the sinner. How did he fall? He lost sight of God. He lost sight of God, and he has now to retrace his steps. He has time now to retrace his steps. So often the Lord will put you in a place or in a providence where you stop and you have to retrace your steps. That's what the backslider needs to do, to stop and to retrace the steps. And Samson in the prison, no doubt there's many things that go through his mind, but with these two great enemies, as he retraces his steps, where did I lose my strength? Where did I lose my sight, really? Was it not in the sins of pride and the sin of presumption? This sin of pride is here, we think, with he has this gift of strength. And in Gaza, with these massive gates that he carries to the hill in Hebron, without the blessing of the Spirit of God, it's simply a show of his own strength. And there's pride. And then there's presumption very clearly in this chapter in verse 20. He says, I will go out as at other times before, presumption, and shake myself. And he doesn't realize that the Lord has left him. There's a story, children, of a snake handler, someone who handles snakes. This person performed in some circus somewhere. I don't know where it was. And this man could get the snake to do all kinds of things. Some kind of restrictor, an anaconda or something like that. The man could get the snake to wrap himself around him. And then to get him to unwrap. And he did this for year after year, for I think something like 20 to 25 years. He did this. This was his work. But on one of these shows, the snake-like character came back, and it didn't, and it killed him. Presumption. But we're not playing around with an anaconda when we sin. We're playing around with something far worse. Something that will bring us to hell, if not repented of. Sin is a great evil and a great danger. So these sins of pride and presumption. And so you have Samson's hair cut. But secondly, here we have Samson's hair growing again. Oh, it is such a sad picture, isn't it, of Israel's champion. Grinding and doing the work of the Philistines. He who had begun to deliver the people from the Philistines, now doing their work. But we believe in the prison. Samson begins to see again. He sees God. And this is the real sight. It's the sight of the eyes. This is the real sight. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you can't see with your physical sight, the evidence of things not seen. And what does Samson see in this prison? Well, he certainly sees and knows it is an evil and a bitter thing to sin against God. And you thank God for any providence that brings you to see the evil and the bitterness of sin. But he doesn't just see this, children. He also feels something. What does he feel in the prison? He feels his hair growing again. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Now, there's something supernatural here. Of course your hair grows again. That's what hair does when you shave it. It begins to grow again. But there's something being highlighted for us here. And I believe Matthew Henry is right when he suggests that the hair must have grown back very quickly. And he feels it growing quickly. Because by the time they get to the feast, the hair is grown back. And so Samson, when he feels the hair, he sees, yes, it is an evil and a bitter thing to sin against God. But in the prison, he also sees the loving kindness of the Lord, the mercy of God, the covenant faithfulness of God, that God is a God of mercy, and God has more work for this Nazarite to do. He will be a Nazarite, he had said, the angel had said to the mother, until his death. He will be a Nazarite until his death. And there's Samson thinking, how can that possibly be true now? I've sinned it all away. In my utter foolishness, I've sinned it all away. How can I be a Nazarite unto God until my death? And suddenly he feels the hair growing back again, and he sees God, the covenant God, the God of mercy. And he sees God, and he waits upon God. And he's humbled, and he repents, and he's sorry for his sin. And he waits upon the Lord again. And what happens to those who wait upon the Lord? Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And his hair begins to grow again. And suddenly Samson sees the real secret of his strength. The secret that Delilah never found out. The secret that the Philistines never knew and found out. They never found out the real secret of his strength, because the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Samson on his knees, that's your strength. Samson in prayer. Samson weak in himself, but dependent upon this great God that he serves. There is the strong man. There is the strong Christian. There is the man who can see. There is the Nazarite unto God. And so the commentator Andrew Fawcett says, the strength that he had lost by sin, he regains by prayer. Have you lost spiritual strength and blessing because of your sin? Return now to the Lord thy God, is the language of the Bible. Samson, away from wine. Some suggest he'd been drunk, the sleepiness of this chapter. We don't know that, but that would also break the Nazarite vow. But now away from wine, and his hair growing again, and realizing by faith, the Lord has not cast me off. That's exactly what I deserve. But the Lord has not cast me off. For sure, the psalm says, the Lord will not cast off those that his people be. He has not taken his loving kindness from me. That the hair growing quickly again is telling us God is a God of mercy. I forgot him. I took my eyes off him, but he never forgot me. He never took his eyes off me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? They may forget, yet I will not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. If we believe not, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we through our folly and our stupidity and our unbelief, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And that's where Samson's strength always was. He himself was only ever a weak man. A little Philistine boy here is all that's needed to lead him around. He was weak like any others, but the people that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And his hair then begins to grow again. And again, my friends, if you're here and you find yourself backslidden, you're not where you were before. You've gone back. You've sinned. You've fallen. You're far from God. My soul for God, the living God, the thirst. You find yourself in a dry land. This is saying there's a way back to God. These great words of Hosea chapter 14. O Israel, return. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen. That's what you do. That's what you are. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, he gives you the words, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. That's not the strength. We will not ride upon horses, because that's not the strength. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, because that's not the strength. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And God immediately comes there in verse 4 and says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Return, O Israel, to the Lord thy God. Samson's hair growing again. And then thirdly here, Samson's hair fully grown. The picture of strength. Well, there's this national celebration in Gaza. All the lords of the Philistines are here. A great celebration, a great feast unto Dagon, the god of fertility and reproduction. And they're sacrificing to him. And they're triumphing. And the lords of the Philistines, they lead the way in verse 23. Listen to them. Our God hath delivered us. Dagon has won. Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. In verse 24, the people join in. The people saw him, and they praised their God, and they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many. And God in heaven says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and before my face. Samson, Jehovah, the Lord's anointed. Yes, he sinned, but he is still the Nazarite. The hair has grown again. And here they are mocking him. Verse 25, when their hearts were merry, they call for Samson that he may make sport. And you can only imagine the horrendous things they would make him do. They parade Samson. He's paraded. They would have him dance to their music. He would jump. They'd fall down. They'd all roar with laughter. And they'd make him do it again and again and again. They parade him. They mock him. They humiliate him. They make a fool out of God's anointed, the apple of his eye. He's paraded. But Samson prays. Verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He's praying. He's strong. A man so weak in himself, so utterly helpless here. No presumption here. Here is a man laying hold of the covenant God of mercy. O Lord, he says, Jehovah, remember thy covenant. Remember thy name. Remember thy mercy. Remember thy cause. Remember thy glory. And here is a man who knows the secret of the Lord and is strong and does exploits. He's not praying here for individual vengeance alone when he prays for his eyes. He's praying as the Messiah, small m. A messianic prayer. He's praying as the judge of Israel. And so he's paraded. He's praying. And then you find them pushing. Verse 30. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. I mean, try to picture all this laughing, all this triumphing, all this praising of Dagon. Our God has won. And suddenly, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. Proverbs 29 says, "They that being often reproved still hardeneth their necks shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And so as they laugh and feast, he that in heaven sits shall laugh. I also will laugh at your calamity. As they laugh and feast and worship their false God, and they defy the God of heaven, suddenly the two large pillars which hold up Dagon on his temple, they creak, and they crack, and they begin to move, and they crumble, and they fall. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord will have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." You see Samson paraded, praying, pushing, prevailing. Prevailing in his death, verse 30 in the middle. "So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." He had been a great deliverer in his life, but a greater deliverer in his death. It's not suicide. It's the act of the magistrate. It's the act of the soldier. It's not suicide, it's sacrifice. He is giving his life for the deliverance of the people of God. And remember again what Hebrews says, Hebrews 11. These all died in faith. Samson died in faith. But what a picture of the greater than Samson, as we've been seeing. Betrayed by those he loved. Betrayed by the kiss of Judas, arrested. Isaiah says he was taken from prison and from judgment, accused. And we say with Pilate, "Why? What evil has he done?" He never backslid. He never lost sight of God. He never played games with sin. From his conception to his grave, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, a Nazarite unto God, perfectly. And he was paraded. He was mocked. They blindfolded him, you remember, so that he could not see. And then they struck him on the face, and they said, "Prophesy to us, who smote thee?" Micah had said it years before, "They shall smite the ruler or the judge of Israel on the cheek." He was paraded on a cross between two thieves, and the people made sport of him. He was the song of the drunkards. And they said, "You who saved others, save yourself. Let us see if Elijah will come and save them." He trusted in God. They mocked him. And yet the secret of the Lord was with him. He was heard in that he feared. Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from out of death. Not only was he paraded, but he prayed with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from out of death. And so he prays as the Messiah, the judge of Israel. And then he pushes. He's crucified in weakness. And yet what power is in that cross? And with his two outstretched arms, he prevails. In his own death, Christ with his two outstretched arms takes down not just the temple of Dagon, but the whole kingdom of Satan itself. The whole realm of death is destroyed. Not only the lords of the Philistines, but he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. Is it not true of Christ that he delivered many from sickness and disease in his life? But he delivered so many more in his death. He saved his whole church in his death. He destroyed the enemy and he saved every last one of his people. And you have the evidence of his prevailing. That the earth quakes, the rocks rent, the graves are open. Something altogether glorious has happened. My dear friend, what hope do you have this evening? There is a greater than Samson in the gospel for a sinner like you. Not a dead Samson, but a living Samson. A living Samson before the dead lion with honey in his hands. Eat, O friends, take from this Samson. Bow before this greater than Samson. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank Thee for Thy precious, precious Word. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus is the one who opened the understanding of the disciples and in all the scriptures showed the things concerning Himself. So, Lord, open our understanding, that we would understand the Scriptures and see in the Scriptures from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation the blessed and glorious Savior, the greater than Samson, the only Redeemer of God's elect. Lord, bring us to our homes in safety this night. Pardon our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.